Good evening and welcome along to another episode of The Score here on Highland Radio. I'm your host Mark Gallagher and we have a busy show lined up for you between now and 8 o'clock. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll talk rallying with Killian Duffy from On The Pace Note. Horse trainers Leona and Noel McLaughlin join us to talk about their horse Here We Go Again's win in the recent Dingle Derby. And we'll be speaking to Brendan Herbie McDade to get the latest on how the ever-popular Donegal Half Marathon is shaping up. But firstly, we'll go straight into the domestic soccer scene. Finn Harps and Derry City are both in FA Cup action this weekend, with Harps playing Bray Wanderers tomorrow evening and Derry up against holders Drogheda United on Saturday. Well, joining me now for a chat is former Finn Harps manager Anthony Gorman. Anthony, welcome back to the Score programme.
No problem, Mark.
Well, the league action takes a back seat this week, but Finn Harps and Derry City both in action in the last 16 of the FAI Cup. We'll start with Finn Harps, Anthony, who are at home to Bray for the second time in a week. But in between the 2-2 draw last week with Bray and tomorrow night's cup fixture, Harps have actually managed to squeeze in an away win in Kerry on Monday night. That's a good result on the road.
A brilliant result, you know, given the, you know, the situation that Finn Harps find themselves in, you know, in the first division, financially cash strapped and, you know, having to travel up and down to Kerry in one day. And they're doing most of their home games like that. But to go to Kerry and get a result is a very positive performance for Finn Harps. And they have been in a good vein of form, Finn Harps. You know, in the last 10 matches, they've only lost two games, which is really encouraging. And I remember, I think the last time we spoke, Mark, we talked about, you know, the cup run, keeping their season alive. But you know, you look at them, and if we're trying to be positive and, you know, put a bit of a slant on that, you know, Finn Harps are only 7 points off a playoff place with a game in hand, which is real progress for this team, because, you know, it is a young team and, you know, they've signed a lot of players over the summer, and it's, you know, quite a new squad at the minute. So I do have to say that things are looking very positive for Finn Harps at the minute.
Yeah, and tomorrow night's opponents, Bray, if we go back to last Friday's game against Bray, I mean, they must take positives from being in the fact that they were 2-0 up with nearly 70 minutes on the clock. To be pegged back, they will have been really disappointed and annoyed to have let that slip. So I suppose that makes Monday's result even more impressive that they were able to bounce back.
Yeah, it's really good because, you know, Bray are a quality first division team. You know, they're sitting in third in the league, you know, just 5 points behind Cove. And, you know, Bray traditionally are a strong club in the first division. And, you know, Harps haven't been 2-0 up. It will be disappointing for them, but it's a wee lesson for them as well going into this game that, you know, don't be looking at the clock. Even though you're 2-0 up, there's still, you play until the 90th or 95th minute. And Van Harps found that to their cost against Bray last weekend when, I think it was the 96th minute when Bray got their equaliser. So, but again, they'll be positive going into the game because they've actually played quite well against Bray this year. And as I said, the new signings have given everyone around the club a bit of a lift, and there's a bit of positivity about them going into this game.
And they're getting another crack at Bray this week. As you said, we spoke a couple of weeks ago and you did allude to the fact that the Cup is keeping Harp season alive. Kevin McHugh said, I mean, this is a massive opportunity against the first division team to get into an FA Cup quarter final, and then who knows what'll happen.
Absolutely. You know, the Cup, it's all about on the day. League form goes out the window, and again, it's one of them where with the new signings have come in, it has give them a bit of a lift. They'll be, they'll be looking forward to the cup game where, you know, it takes their eyes off the pressures of the league and trying to stay away from the bottom two or three and trying to push towards playoffs. So the cup does give them that opportunity to, you know, for a bit of excitement for the supporters as well. And as you say, they're one game off the quarter final. And when you get to that stage, you're just looking at home ties and as favourable as possible. And I can guarantee you there's, you know, if Finn Harps do manage to get past Bray, get a home tie in the quarterfinal, there's not many clubs fancy travelling to Finn Park. even the Premier Division clubs, because they've always found it a difficult place to go to. And the most important thing for Finn Harps is trying to get past Bray this Friday night.
Just finally, Finn Harps, a word on them new signings that you were talking about. The likes of Zarouk and Pongo, Cooney, they've all come in, they've all scored goals. Cooney got the winner on Monday. They've all had such good impacts. And as you say, no team would want to face Finn Harps in a quarter final at Finn Park.
Absolutely not. You know, as I said, you know, about the new players coming in and giving them a lift. Like, I've seen comments from some of the younger boys saying it's great to train with these boys. And, you know, it brings a bit of excitement and a bit of flair to the club. You know, when you bring boys in from different nationalities that have experienced in different leagues. And, you know, I know from my own experience as a young boy and playing at Finn Harps, and I remember the excitement around when Johnny Masekela came into the club from South Africa, and, you know, it gave the whole place a lift. And I know we're talking different times now, but the excitement of having a foreign player coming and playing alongside you in Finn Park, and I'm sure the young players that Harps have at the moment will feel that same excitement of, you know, lads. I mean, Cooney's got international experience with St Kitts and Nevis, so you know, it's an exciting time for them. And the problem with Finn Harps is if these players come in and do well, like, they're going to be on everybody's radar, and the problem is then trying to hold on to them. But I'm sure for the short term, everyone at Finn Harps will be hoping that the new signings come in and do well anyway.
Let's move on to Derry, and it's been difficult to speak about Derry this season without mentioning that word consistency, but you just can't really get away from it. They've been so unpredictable, and a scoreless draw at home to Cork last Friday doesn't really suggest they've turned any corners.
No, and like, as we spoke previously, Mark, about this, the only consistent thing about Derry this season has been their inconsistency. And maybe we're a wee bit harsh on them when you look at them, and I know they're sitting third in the table, but it's just the fact that they have had so many, you know, maybe false dawns. Like, they had a run there where they did three impressive ones in a row, away to Pats, away to Shells, home to Drogheda. And they follow that up with a home victory against Waterford. But then they go to Sligo, get beat 2-0, and go to Rovers and get beat 2-0, and then draws against Bowes and Cork. So they've gone four games now without a victory. So for the amount of investment that Derry City have put into the team this year, they'll be expecting more, especially in the league. You know, as I said, they are sitting in third, but they're 11 points behind Shamrock Rovers, who, you know, it's their league to lose at this stage. But I think from every Derry City player and every Derry City supporter, the emphasis now will be on a cup run. But at home to the cup holders, Drogheda, and Derry have always found them to be a formidable and difficult opponent. And, you know, and Kevin Doherty, Drogheda, I think you always know what you're going to expect when you play Drogheda. They're well set up. They're physical. They're aggressive. And they're very disciplined. And, you know, while they're sitting in fourth in the league, and, you know, they're, and rightly so, like, because of the effort that the players put in. So, like, a home tie for Derry City against Drogheda is by no stretch of the imagination a foregone conclusion.
Just looking at some of the other games this weekend in the Cup, Derry and Drogheda on Saturday night, probably the tie of the round, but you've also got a tasty one on Sunday, a Dublin derby between St Pat's and Shelburne.
Yeah, Pats and Shells. Like, it's one of them where Shells are in this season, you know, having had the success of last year and won in the league last year, and then they'll have they'll be going into the Pats game on the back of the disappointment of, you know, losing out in the Europa League game during the week. And Pats is another one where, again, Stephen Kenny's gone there and, you know, he's had a lot of backing from the club. They've invested heavily in the squad. So I think Shell still have the crack at the Conference League, but I think for both Pats and Shells, they'll be looking to extend their season by progressing the Cup, because I think they'll be realistic to look at this stage, Mark, to say that, you know, Shamrock Rovers are in the driving seat for the league, and then the European places is Bowes and Derry's pushing for them. So I think the Cup is going to be their best chance at progressing in Europe, and the best chance of silverware for this season.
Another interesting game is Sligo's trip away to Bowes tomorrow night. Sligo had been flying up until recently, but then they suffered two defeats on the bounce there. Where would you rate Sligo's chances of making it through to the quarters? I was just thinking there, it'd be nice to see the three North West teams in the last day of the FAI Cup, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think Sligo have to go into that game with a bit of positivity, Mark, because Bowes are one of them teams, when you look at them and you've watched them during the season, like, out of 27 games, they've only drawn four games, so they, by and large, they either won the game or they lose a game. So, and Sligo, and we spoke about this before, Mark, about Sligo Rovers this season, they played quite well, you know, and again, like, the John Russell has made a couple of good signings during the summer. Like, I think Patrick McLean coming in has been a positive for them, because he's shored up what was a, you know, a bit leaky and a bit of an inexperienced back four. So McLean's come in and added strength and experience there. And they'll be positive as well in the fact that they got his red card from last weekend rescinded as well. But Sligo going to Bowes, like, I wouldn't back against Sligo, because, as I said, a lot of the time this season I've watched them play and they have played well and they've been unfortunate in certain games. So Sligo will be positive going down to play Bowes at Daly Mount. Although you would say, from the outside looking in, Bowes would have to be favourites. But I certainly wouldn't back against Sligo.
Well, we'll see how the weekend plays out. Anthony Gorman, thank you very much for joining us here on The Score this evening.
Thanks a million, Mark. Thank you.
That is former Finn Harps manager Anthony Gorman, and we'll have live updates with Jeremy Doherty from Harps Clash with Bray tomorrow night. Kickoff is at 7:45. Now it is time to turn our attention to Gaelic games. The Donegal Senior Football Championship continues this weekend with another full round of games. We'll go through them in a moment, but in the meantime, we do have a competition on The Score this evening. Donegal GAA TV came back with a bang last weekend with four great first round games, and they stream another four matches this weekend. On Saturday, St. Nolls face Gidor at 5 o'clock, with Neve Connell meeting Ardragh at 7:30. And on Sunday, you can watch Neve Warra take on Red Hughes in the County Intermediate Championship at 2 o'clock, followed by the clash of Terman and Four Masters in the Senior Championship at 4. Donegal GAA TV's broadcast partners, Stream Sport, have given Highland Radio two single match passes for this weekend to give away. The winner of each of these passes can watch one of the four games being broadcast on Donegal GAA TV for free. Now, all you have to do is answer the following question. Which Donegal club plays their home games at the Burn Road? Is it A, Terman, or B, St. Nolls? That is, which Donegal club plays their home games at the Burn Road? Is it A, Terman, or B, St. Nolls? All you have to do is text your answer, your name, and your email address to 086 60 25,000, and we'll contact the two winners tomorrow morning. To find out more about how you can watch Donegal GAA TV and about upcoming matches being covered, just go to Donegal GAA's website or check out any of Donegal GAA social media pages on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and TikTok. Single match passes, weekend passes and season passes are all available to purchase now. Well, I mentioned St. Nolls are playing Gidor on Saturday, and that is the first senior championship game of the weekend. At 5:30, Dunlow and Killybegs will both look to build on their winning starts as they face off at Rosses Park. Then there are two games at 7:30. Neve Connell will look to bounce back from an opening day defeat when they host neighbours Ardragh, and defending champion St. Junans, who were also beaten on the opening day. They go to Ballyshannon to play Erua. There are two games in the Intermediate Championship on Saturday evening. Fannet Gaels play Bundoran, and Neve Padraig Ishkakane of Muff play fellow Inishowenside Mallon. Both of those games throw in at 7 o'clock. And in the Junior Championship on Saturday, Uris face St. Mary's Convoy, and Pettigo are up against Neve Breege. Moving on to Sunday's games in the Senior Championship, there are four games down for decision. Kilcare and Downings get it all up and running when they meet in Towney at 2 o'clock. And then the first of our two feature games on Sunday Sport will throw in at 2:30, with two of the big winners in Round 1 meeting as Sean McCool's welcome Glenn Swilly to Ballybuffet. And our second feature game will see Terman, who were beaten by Killybegs in their first game. They play Four Masters. The Donegal Town side defeated St. Nolls in their first game. That game is at 4 o'clock. In the late game on Sunday, it'll be Glenfinn against St. Michael's from 5. There are also four games in the Intermediate Championship on Sunday. Milford play Narrossa, and Red Hughes travel west to face Neve Warra Lower Rosses. Both of those games are at 2 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, Clonmacnoise host Neve Columba, and then at 5, Burt go to Buncrana. In the two junior games on Sunday, both games are at 3 o'clock as Cairndonagh play Moville and Neve Colum Kill play Letterkenny Gaels. Highland's dedicated GAA programme is now available to listen back to over on our website. This week, Brent Devaney has been reviewing and previewing all the weekend's championship action in Donegal on the DL Debate, which you can tune into on the playback section of our website at highlandradio.com. The Derry Senior Championship got underway on Wednesday evening. Lavey beat Drumcern by 419 to 117 in that opening game. The action in Derry continues this weekend with four games on Saturday and three games on Sunday. And finally, for now, the Donegal LGFA Championship also continues this weekend in the senior, intermediate and junior competitions. In the Senior Championship on Sunday, it is Termin against Erua. Mavilla play St Unans, Neave Connell play Glenfinn and Neave Wara face St Nulls. It is time for a short break here on the programme. We have lots more to come up on the show, so join us again after these. Welcome back to The Score. Now let's turn our focus to horse and pony racing. There was a Donegal winner at the Dingle Derby in Kerry last weekend. Kerry man Billy Roberts was the jockey, but the horse, Here We Go Again, is owned and trained by Rathmullen father and daughter combination Noel and Leona McLaughlin. The Derby is one of the biggest races on the horse and pony circuit, and Highland's Oisin Kelly spoke with Noel and Leona about the brilliant win in Kerry.
Listen, Leona, we'll come to you in a second, and we might start with Dad, if that's okay. We'll get the background of the training with you in a second, Leona, but listen, Dad, this has been a tremendous one, so it has for the family, and obviously for Leona. He's owned this horse, you trained this horse, and in the horse and pony circuit, there's nothing bigger than the Dingle Derby.
Look, that's the one that always everybody wants to win. Like, that's the biggest race of the year for in the pony circuit, It's a big achievement, Oisin, you know.
Yeah, it's a huge achievement, and you had a Kerry man on board, young Billy Roberts, who done a fine job.
Well, we had two horses in it, and they're a wee girl that rides for us. We Nina Doherty from Meath, and we had to get another jockey, so Leona, she gets the jockeys all the time, so she contacted Billy Roberts, and he done the job, and he's a good jockey, yeah.
Yeah. Super one. Leona, it's a big success. Many congratulations. You've had a couple of days now to digest this one. I'm sure it was a very, very enjoyable experience for you, who has a very, very close relationship to the horse.
Yeah, no, it was massive. Like, as with Dad said, like, it's something that you've always wanted to win, and then to actually go and do it, it's amazing.
Yeah. Did you think, Leona, going into the race that the horse was good enough to do it? Or that you had the right package?
You always know you have a chance, but whenever you let the horse go, like, anything can happen. Like, anything could happen. Like, so you just kind of hope and pray. But I knew we had a chance, but it's surreal whenever they actually pass the winning line. It doesn't feel like it actually happened.
Yeah. So, Leona, you're 16 years of age. You've now trained a Dingle Derby winner. So you have. How long have you been at this training thing with the horses and working with the horses?
Oh, like, my granddad used to have horses, so, like, it's kind of just been, like, a thing that I've been into my whole life, but it's really only been the past couple of years that I've really been, like, into it and, like, going down every day and doing the horses and, like, really getting a good enjoyment out of it.
Yeah. And obviously, the work that you're doing with the horses and with those that are involved, it's paying off now. That hard work that you're putting in is paying off to get this one.
Yeah, no, it's massive. Like, it's worth everything that you do with them. Yep. All, like, the bad days and the good days, it's all worth it.
Yeah. And how big an influence has the man on the other line there, your dad, been on you?
Yeah, he's been a massive influence. Like, he's the one that, like, everybody, like, at the racing's like, oh, like, nobody, like, understands what goes into behind the scenes, like, whenever you're at home. And, like, no, he's been a massive, like, help and influence, like, yep, getting it going and stuff.
Noel, I'm doing the maths up here. If Leona's 16, when you actually trained the winner in 2010, I don't think Leona was born. You did Derby winner that year, so you did. Leona, I don't think, was born
Leona
that year.
She was two. Leona was two, yeah.
Oh, she was two, okay.
She was two, yeah.
Oh, very good, very good. So she was very
young.
She was
young. Two the last time I won it, yeah.
Yep. Take us back to that occasion, Noel. What was that experience like?
Oh, that was brilliant. That was the first time, and I never ever thought when I done pony racing I would ever won the Dingle Derby. Like, and I called the horse after her. The horse was called Leona's Pride, and we went down there with we thought we might have had a chance, but we couldn't believe it. It was unreal.
Did you think it would come round again, that the family would get another winner?
Well, I thought we had two horses in it this year, and I thought the other wee horse now would have, you know, he finished third, Tommy Kay, and he was running very good, you know, 1 and 2 mile or 2 miles all year, and I thought, you know, I thought he would have been the one more than here we go again, to be honest, because the last man that owned him never would run him in the Lingalair because he thought he wouldn't have stayed the 2 mile, you know, in the Derby. So I thought with Tommy Kay, you know, it would have been the horse.
Yeah. Right. Oh, well, there you go. Just shows you life can spring up a surprise. Sport can spring up a surprise every now and then. So it can. And I said to Leona earlier when I was talking to her about that, at the moment, there's so many good Donegal jockeys who are performing at a very high level, be it here in Ireland or a fellow Rathmullen man, the Oars, of course, who are over in England. So there's a very, very high level there. But they all have to come through, I suppose, the early stuff and the early circuits, which is this horse and pony racing. And it's a fantastic, I suppose, part of life if you want to be a jockey or you want to be a trainer to be involved in and have success in. Noel?
Well, the pony racing is brilliant for all the jockeys, like Dylan Brown, Luke McAteer, and another young Orr fellow there now as well, Jimmy Orr.
Yeah.
He's there, he's in the pack too. And all them boys done pony racing, and Patrick McGinnigan, the whole lot of them, and they're flying it. Like the whole lot of them had a winner in Galway, and they all come from the pony racing.
Yeah. You know, Patrick used to ride out for you, didn't he?
Patrick was down yet. Patrick had a pony. He had a wee pony, one in Dingle there as well. We took it down for him on his mother, Jared and Joanne. They were down along with us. And that won on Friday evening, but it got a wee slight cut on Saturday, so they just decided they wouldn't run it any more day, you know, any Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah. It makes the trip back from Kerry, Dingle's so far away. The trip home's a lot easier when you've got a bit of success, isn't it, Noel?
That's serious. It does. It does.
Yeah.
It does. It definitely does.
Yeah. So, Leona. Unreal, eh? Yeah. So, Leona, what's next then? What's coming up next for because you've got three horses down there in Rathmullen, is that right?
Yeah, we have three of them now, yeah.
Yeah. So, there's more racing to come, is it, over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, Gisala's on this weekend, which is in Mayo. It's a 2-day meeting, it's a beach meeting. And then there's a Cork meeting on then the following weekend. So...
All right, so
still have a bit of racing left.
Still a bit of racing. This time of the year and over the last couple of months, you've effectively been out nearly every weekend,
yeah.
Leona, because if you're not doing the local circuit here in Donegal, you're doing the stuff around the country. And you go further afield as well, do you? Across the water?
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes we go to Scotland to the Hoyk meetings or Langholm, and they're very good as well.
Yeah. I know you mentioned your dad and your granddad who were huge influences on you, but... Sort of, who's your role models been? Who have you looked up to in the horse racing world, obviously outside of that close family circuit that you have?
I'd say probably Dylan Brown Monaco, just because, like, you've known him since he was young and he was doing the pony racing, and then it just shows, like, when you put the hard work and dedication in it, what you can get out of it and go on and, like do something with yourself and stuff.
Yeah.
Especially since he, like, came through the pony racing and stuff.
For sure, for sure. And what do you want out of life? What's your aim in life in this horse racing world now? Because you've tasted success in the big Dingle Derby. Can you go up the levels? Can you become a serious contender as a training and learn the ropes and go further afield? Is that something that you would like to try, Leona, as you go through the next number of years?
That'd be a dream to have a couple of horses in the track and go and try and win bigger. It'd be unreal.
Yeah. Noel, I think this daughter of yours is very much capable of that.
Oh, she would be. She wouldn't be, but she's very, very good horsewoman. Oh, she's very good, and she turns them out well, and they'll be looking well, and she really puts the effort into them.
And listen, from a family point of view, Noel, this one down in Dingle is huge, and it's a big marker on the circuit, and it shows that there's lots of people up here in Donegal that are very, very capable of doing special things.
They're serious, yeah. There's a lot of Donegal. Donegal is there are a lot of good trainers about Donegal. There are a lot of good, very good horses.
Yeah.
And they can go, you know what I mean, they go anywhere. And the wee fella that rode for us, that was his first ride in the Dingle Derby. He never rode on it before.
Yeah.
And I think we might be going down to Kerry now for he wants the horse down for some thing in his hometown for a wee up, you know, a wee thing. I don't know. He's looking for us down there.
A wee homecoming event. You said a bit of a homecoming in Rathmullen on Monday night too. There was a good turnout for it, was there?
Oh, it just goes to show you the support. Like the whole town was out on Monday night, and it was brilliant. The whole town was out. It was very good now.
Good stuff. Well, listen, Noel, many congratulations and very well done once again on yet another Dingle success for you.
Thanks very much, Josh. Thank you.
And Leona, we're going to say farewell to you as well and congratulations. And we're going to be keeping a close eye on you to see how your career develops now over the next number of years. Well done, Leona.
Thank you, Oisin.
That is Highlands Oisin Kelly in conversation with Rathmullen's Noel and Leona McLaughlin. Moving on to athletics, and next Sunday, the 24th of August, marks an important date on the calendar here in the county with the Donegal Half Marathon taking place. And I'm very happy to welcome Race Director Brendan Herbie-McDade onto the SCORE programme. Brendan, thanks very much for joining us here this evening.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Well, it's that time of year again, Brendan. We're about 10 days out from the Donegal Half Marathon. How have the preparations been going?
Yeah, preparations have been going very well. We've spent a good bit of work during the year getting ready for this. And now, as you say, with 10 days out, it's becoming a reality. And there's a lot of things we just can't do until the last week of it. And so we're just now in final preparations for it. And the entry numbers have really exceeded our expectations in this. Last year, we had in around the 600 mark entered. And this year there's well over 1,000 for the half marathon. And then we also included a relay event this year where we have teams of three doing approximately about 7K each to do the half marathon. And that has again been a huge success because there's about 50 teams that have registered so far for the event. So, you know, overall there's well over 1,200 people will be turned out on Sunday week for the Donegal half marathon.
Yeah, we'll get on to the relay in a minute, and I want to talk to you about the kids section as well. But you mentioned that number 1,200. Is that the most that'll have ever done the Donegal Half Marathon?
Oh, it is indeed. Even in the early years when we had both the marathon and half marathon, we were still in around maybe 800 was our max ever. To go from sort of last year and the year before, you know, between 500 and 600. To doubling up to the 1,200 has been a huge success and a pleasant surprise for us.
Yeah, and I suppose we're still over a week away. That number could rise again in the next week or so.
Yeah, it probably would, because as we've seen in previous years, you always get a little last surge of people that were holding off to make sure that they were in shape and had the training done, and you know, and then putting the entry in the last sort of week of the event.
Yeah, so it all gets underway next Sunday morning, the 24th at 9:20 sharp. What are some of the details for participants regarding the registration, Brendan?
On Friday from 6 to 7, we'll be doing sort of a handout number and goodie bag. And that'll also then continue on Saturday between 2 and 6. So we would encourage as many locals as possible to come, you know, between those times and collect their bib number, their goodie bag and T-shirt. That'll take a bit of pressure off on the Sunday morning. Because of the early start of 9:20, we'd want sort of to be under too much pressure to sort of have a huge number to deal with on that Sunday morning. And I think that, you know, the real message we want to get out for that Sunday morning is that the start line is 1 mile approximately from the registration area. So people need to allow themselves time to be at the start line for the 9:20 start. Because of the traffic arrangement that we have, we won't be able to delay the race. So the race will go at 9:20, no matter who's there or not there. So just encourage people to be on time and to be at the start on time.
You mentioned the start line there. What about the route itself? Have you made any changes to the route, or is it as normal? Maybe you can actually talk us through the route itself.
Yeah, no, we've changed the route maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and the feedback we've got is that it's now sort of one of the best sort of half marathon routes about. So it starts just on the Conwell Strait. As I say, it's about a mile from the Oral Leisure Centre. So it proceeds then into Letterkenny, taking a right past the Old Dunn Stores, and then a left at the Station House Hotel, right over Pierce Road, turning out right at the Tesco roundabout, out past the IT, taking a left then at the Polestar roundabout, up past the public service offices, and that'll be the first water station and toilets. That then proceeds over past the Century Cinemas and on to Pierce Road again, back over the Old Town Bridge and out to Rock Hill Road. And roughly about 2 miles out to Rock Hill Road, there'll be another water station and toilets again. So proceeds on then to New Mills, straight up past the New Mills Bridge, heading for Reshadock, which is the turning point. So the race then turns back into Letterkenny via the main sort of Glantys Fintown Road, in past the Conwell Graveyard, which again is over the start line, in past through St. Eunan's roundabout, turning right in the back entrance of Aura in that little laneway, round the back of the building, and the finish then with 300 metres on the running track, the Danny McDade running track. So the natural finish line on the running track is going to be the finish line for the half marathon as well.
You mentioned earlier the relay race is back this year. You mentioned there was over 50 relay teams signed up. That's a really popular way of doing the half marathon, and the team ethic is maybe an interesting addition, because traditionally, you know, you're on your own on the track but or out on the roads, but having teams taking part will give it another interesting dynamic.
Well, it is indeed, and like we had tried that previous years, and we only had a small number of teams, so we had dropped it, but this year with so many running groups of Couch to 5K and Fit for Life, you know, people that are out doing little bits and pieces like that, you know, where a half marathon might be too much for them, we sort of got that feedback that they would like to be part of it, but, you know, as part of a relay. So we had there just the three-person team, each doing approximately about 7K each. So that gives those sort of people time now to, you know, they're capable of doing 7K, and give them now another year to build up, and hopefully as the years go on, they'll do the full half marathon then in future.
Yeah, and I would say there's a few tricky logistics to work out in terms of the relay event. There are three runners in each team, but where do the handovers take place, and how does that work, Brendan?
Yeah, obviously the leg one, the first runner will start on the starting line. I think that their first changeover then is just a little bit past the Old Town Bridge on that Rock Hill Road at the Creve Smith entrance. So that is roughly about 6.8K, I think it is, or 6.9K. So those second leg runners will be there waiting for them to come. So they'll just do a hand touch, and the second runner then will proceed on to the next changeover, which will be out at the Reshadock Turn. We have a bus that will take the third leg runners from the Aura out to that changeover, and then they will use that same bus then to take any of the second leg runners back into Aura again. So the last runner will get a bib number with the timing chip on it, and that timing chip then will record at the finish line to give them the overall time for their half marathon.
You've it all figured out then. There's also a kids section in the event. Can you tell us a wee bit about that?
Yeah, when we started off, we sort of, Desi Larkin, God rest him, is his idea of the whole event. And his idea it would be the People's Marathon. And that has sort of turned out to be the way. The locals have turned out not only to take part in it, but also to volunteer and help out. And while the families were sort of coming down to support the people in the race, we decided that we could have a kids 1K just to keep them entertained while they would be waiting for the full half marathon to take place. So we do the last 1K of the event. The kids sort of take off in little groups. We try to sort of put them into the different sections of age groups and let them run the last 1K of the event and come onto the finish line the same way as the full half marathon would finish. And that has proved to be a very sort of entertaining and successful event for us.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yous are all set. As always, I'm sure you'll be encouraging people to get out and support the runners and walkers along the route.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I know it's early morning, but at the same time, it's a good way to come and support the family members and even anybody you know about that is willing to volunteer. They can contact the volunteer center. You know, even for an hour or 2 hours, it'd be great to have that little bit of help. There's 4 water stations en route, along with a lot of junctions to be covered. So any help is always welcomed in it.
Donegal Half Marathon Race Director Brendan Herbie-McDade looking ahead to next Sunday's big event. Now, finally on tonight's programme, we're going to turn the focus to rallying. It's a double weekend of action with rounds in both the Tarmac and National Championships taking place. Callum Devine and Noel O'Sullivan can wrap up the Tarmac title by winning the Ulster Rally, which starts on Friday, while Sunday sees the ALMC in Meath as round 6 of the National. Highlands Oisin Kelly has been looking ahead to the racing on the roads over the next few days with Killian Duffy of On the Pace Note.
Killian, welcome back to Highland. How are you doing?
Great, Oisin. It's a while since I was on. Obviously, we've both been busy since, and we had a great weekend in Donegal International Rally, and it's hard to believe it's probably 6 or 7 weeks ago, but yeah, life is good and busy, and there's plenty of rallying happening. It's sort of, the whole rallying goes through a little bit of a dip in the whole country after Donegal. I think, you know, families and holidays and probably the expense of doing the 3-day rally, people sort of disappear there for 7 or 8 weeks. But I think things are, I know there's been a few rallies in between, but I think things are about to kick off again this weekend with obviously the double header weekend of the Ulster Rally and also ALMC on this weekend. So yeah, there's plenty on.
There's plenty on, and they are of course two very important counting rounds in their respective championships. We'll start with Ulster. Obviously starts on Friday afternoon, finishes up on early Saturday evening, but it could be a pivotal weekend in the season. You mentioned Donegal. We of course covered Callum Devine and Noel O'Sullivan winning their third consecutive Donegal International Rally, which propelled them into pole position in the championship, and they can wrap it up this weekend by taking victory in Ulster. However, Ulster hasn't been that kind to Devine and O'Sullivan, has it?
Yeah, it's an event he's struggled with over the years, to be honest. Well, I'm saying that he struggled maybe early years, but Callum's sort of in a place now where the days of struggling are sort of behind him. Like you'll remember there in 2023, he was the only one able to put it up to Adrian Formeau, who of course is a Hyundai Works driver now. And I would say if Callum didn't have the championship to think about, it was a real wet event, that one. I think he would have brought the race right to him, or maybe even beaten him. Yeah. But he's a different mission this weekend. I know Oisin Price is out in the C&M Motorsport Hyundai renting that car, and he's doing for Rally Ceredigion in the ERC event. He's getting prepared for his local ERC event in Wales in early September or mid-September. But Callum really has nothing special to do this weekend. He needs maximum points. Again, he's sort of the complete package now, and as he's won Tarmac titles, he's won Tarmac rallies. Okay, he's never won the Ulster, but I mean, he's like a very, very good, consistent driver at this stage. He knows the car. You know, Adam Platt runs the car. He has great people around him. You know, you see Niall McShay is helping there with tyre choice and weather, and he's a well-oiled machine. It's coming a long time, this consistency, but I'd be surprised if he doesn't actually win Ulster. He mightn't even need to win it, but I'd be surprised if he doesn't actually win the event. Now, the only thing is, Oisin, the Ulster course starts Friday afternoon, and there is one, if not two, night stages. And I know from doing the notes for the cruise that the Ulster Friday stages are possibly the most difficult stages of the year. Like, they're just so much drive and so many traps, so many potential places to pick up punctures, because the lanes are so narrow around just the roads outside Newry there and in the Mourne Mountains. So yeah, you can never say never in, as like, he's hot favourite to take the probably the rally win and also his championship title, and I think that'd be his fourth win this year in a row. But you never know, like, as I said, type of event, there's a lot more variables from the stage conditions. Like, there's lots of mud on the stages, and as I said, lots of places you could pick up a puncher. So yeah, I'm sure he'll be aware of that anyway from his recce, and it'll make it interesting for sure.
It seems to be the battle for second in the championship is certainly going to heat up, because David Kelly's currently 21 points adrift of Devine, but you then add in the likes of Declan and Michael Boyle, who are sitting just about a handful of points off the pace of David Kelly. So all the Donegal boys seem to be scrapping here for second in the championship.
Yeah, it is actually. And I would have to say since Wexford last year, I would say Declan Boyle is having a second coming. You know, at 50 years of age, the performances and the consistency he's shown this year are unbelievable, to be honest. Also, of course, Michael is going very, very well, just not the same consistency just yet. And Matthew Boyle as well has shown some great speed. But it's going to be a good battle. Like, there's never much between David Kelly and the Boyles, to be honest, in stage times. Now, I know Michael Boyle has Declan Boyle, obviously not his father, but DB designed Declan in the hot seat for the Ulster Rally. So that'll be Declan's first time. He usually sits with Ryan McHugh. That'll be Declan's first time sitting with Michael Boyle. So, yeah, like, it's going to be a good race. As I said, I would say marginally ahead, I would say, it'd be Oisin and Callum, and just a tiny bit behind, then it'll be between David Kelly and the two Boyles, just looking at the entry list here, I would say.
There's lots of other Donegal men involved. Kelly McBride's going to battle it out in Rally 4. And also we have in the Historics, the championship leaders are John O'Donnell and Paddy Robinson. They are going to take on the Ulster Challenge as well. That's the first event of a double header. We then move on to the ALMC in County Meath on Sunday. Number one on the road will be Eddie Doherty and Tom Murphy. They are the championship leaders by 9 points at the moment from Declan Boyle, but Josh Moffat is back in action as well, and it could turn out to be this round of the national championship could actually turn out to be a very, very interesting round. So it will
absolutely. So the stage of the ALMC is based in Oldcastle this year, as it was 2 years ago. Now I think the weather's like given decent weather for the weekend, because some of the roads could be a bit of shiny surface around the roads there in that region. But yeah, like Josh Moffat had a big accident there on the last the Triton round, around five in Sligo stages. As you say, he is third in the championship. He's more used to being first in the championship. But Eddie Doherty took the win in Sligo. He's shown incredible consistency and speed this year. With obviously two wins, he won in Kerry as well. Now, the stage's characteristics, Eddie tends to go really well on mountain stages. So these aren't mountain stages, obviously, around Oldcastle and that area. But again, you know, you have also Declan Boyle, Michael Boyle. They're after doing 2 days in the Ulster Rally. I mean, you know, they're after doing two hard days of rallying. So, I mean, they could be potentials there for an ALMC sort of... I won't say an underdog, but they certainly have to be, you know, rated there because of their match fitness with 2 days rally and put in before ALMC. And like, again, Josh has, there's loads of speculation about a rally to Skoda for Josh. So it's going to be, you never know what Josh is going to do. So, I mean, he could arrive in something. He's well able to keep things under wraps. So it'll be just interesting to see will he come in the Hyundai, because it was quite badly damaged in Sligo. So yeah, it's going to be great. And Eddie Doherty, as I said, is leading the championship and he's on great form at the moment.
Yep. Lots of other Donegal Motor Club crews will be at that ALMC over the weekend as well. Just want to have you, Killian, a few other, of course, recent excellent performances by some drivers, and in particular, Eamon Kelly. What did you make of his junior success in Finland this year?
I think it's amazing. I think Eamon, what he's doing is amazing, with Conor Mohan from Monaghan on the notes, obviously. I think Eamon's, again, you know, like whether he has a career in the WRC, I'm not sure. But what he's doing in the junior category is outstanding. But what I would be very afraid for the guys competing here is when Eamon comes back to compete in Ireland, because I'm sure he will at some stage. He's going to be another name that we're going to be talking about a lot with consistency and rally victories. Like, you know, I would imagine that Eamon will come back to rally here if he doesn't continue pursuing the WRC ambitions. But what he's doing at the minute in that ultra-competitive Rally 3 class is mega. And to take a win on one of the most, if not the most famous rally in the world, the Thousand Lakes, as it was known, Rally Finland, with all the highly committed roads, is brilliant. Like, and it's great. It's fantastic for him.
Yeah, it was a huge result for him, and listen, I'm sure that he'll be looking to follow that up now in the next number of events. Elsewhere, last week, BRC, William Creighton is a man that spends time here in Donegal, and William, of course, we've seen him lead the Donegal International Rally in June. He's a former junior champion. We know all about him. We know about his pedigree. He's now jumped the top spot in the BRC, and that was a very, very confident drive from him last week.
Oh, absolutely. Like, the Grampian Rally is based sort of up around Aberdeen area. on the east coast of Scotland. And the stages would be very, very tough there and quite rough. And William did an excellent job. Like, he's really, again, another guy that just has brilliant form and consistency and very measured. But again, he's a member of the Motorsport Ireland Academy. So, you know, a lot of the preparation work that goes into it, like Eamon Kelly, I mean, they're getting great backing, great support through John Coyne and the Motorsport Ireland Academy, you know, and preparing for events. And it's like preparation for football teams. I mean, the more work you put in, you know, the better the results you should get. And I think we're seeing the fruition of that now with the academy and all these super fast drivers that are in the country at the moment, you know, doing their thing, as Eamon, you know, in Finland, obviously Josh McAleen in Finland as well, but Eamon taking the win in his category, you know, William Creighton winning the BRC round. I mean, like, we're blessed at the moment. We have some of the best drivers in the world, you know, living in a country with 6 million people. It's pretty incredible, to be honest.
Yeah, and Joseph Kelly as well, just finally, we mentioned Joseph, he won the junior category last week in Aberdeen as well. He's had very good success in the BRC this year, and he's probably having his best year in the Peugeot.
He is, definitely. I mean, Joe, last year probably, you know, we would have thought that maybe his pace had sort of plateaued, but he's found another gear this year. He's really enjoying his rallying, and to win in the Grampian last weekend was a mega result for him. But again, you know, he's getting more confidence, and hopefully there's even more speed to come.
And as we do every time we speak to you, Killian, we always finish off with the plug. What's your coverage this weekend going to include?
Yeah, well, so it's going to include, we're going to start off tomorrow afternoon with the Ulster Rally. We're covering stage ends of all the Ulster Rally stages. You'll be able to view it on the Pace Note or the Ulster Rally page. And then on Sunday, ALMC stages, follow on the Pace Note as well. All the broadcast times will be up later on today, as that's the time we're going to be live at each stage end. I mean, it can be a bit delayed because if the stage is delayed, we're a little bit later. But yeah, we look forward to people tuning in, and hope everyone enjoys the weekend.
You have a good weekend, Killian. Thanks for speaking to us.
Thanks very much, Oisin.
Killian Duffy of On the Pace Note having a chat with Oisin Kelly about all things rallying. Well, that is almost all we have time for on the programme, but I'll leave you with another word on the competition that we're running. Donegal GAA TV came back last weekend with 4 great first round games, and they have another 4 matches to stream this weekend. On Saturday, St Nolls are up against Gidore at 5 o'clock, with Niamh Connell meeting Ardrath at 7:30. And on Sunday, you can watch Niamh Wara take on Red Hughes in the Intermediate Championship at 2 o'clock, and that is followed by the clash of Termon and Four Masters in the Senior Championship at 4. Donegal GAA TV's broadcast partners, Stream Sport, have given Highland Radio 2 single match passes for this weekend to give away. The winner of each of these passes can watch one of the 4 games being broadcast on Donegal GAA TV for free. And all you have to do is answer the following question. Which Donegal club plays their home games at the Burn Road? Is it A, Termon, or B, St Nolls? And text your answer, your name and your email address to 086 60 25000, and we'll be contacting the 2 winners tomorrow morning. To find out more about how you can watch Donegal GAA TV and about upcoming matches being covered, just go to Donegal GAA's website or check out any of Donegal GAA's social media pages on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram or TikTok. Single match passes, weekend passes and season passes are all now available to purchase. Best of luck with the competition, and that is all from me for this evening. I've been your host, Mark Gallagher, and if you missed any of tonight's show, it will be available to listen back to very shortly over on our website at highlandradio.com. Thanks for listening, have a great weekend, and I will talk to you all again very soon.